Well, for one thing, when I step into my office and I'm surrounded by bookcases full of books, you sort of feel this there's a texture, there's a smell. But especially with older books, there's a history. There's knowing that you're picking up a physical object that somebody read a generation ago and two generations ago and three generations ago. And sometimes you have clues in the book itself, whether it's notes written in the margin or an inscription on the end paper, that tell you something about that.
The Bookman's Tale centers on the discovery of a literary artifact that could have inspired Shakespeare's The Winter's Tale. It's considered a holy grail among book collectors. Now, do these holy grails still exist?
Well, it's interesting. I find myself using that term, and a lot of times if I get together with other book collectors, we have a glass of wine, we start talking about our collections, and very often this question comes up. Somebody will lean forward and go, "What's your holy grail?" And it's different for everyone. It's sort of a way of getting into someone else's head, finding out about somebody else's passions. Because one of the great things about collecting books is while we all may share a passion for books, we can all pursue that passion in different ways. And so everyone's book collection is different, and their holy grails might be different from what my holy grails would be. So I think, yes, I think there are still out there, and you do still hear stories all the time of people finding things that we thought were lost or that we didn't know still existed.
In The Bookman's Tale, you spend a good bit of time sort of pulling back the curtain on the world of collecting rare books. But you also even give us a crash course in what I would call book anatomy.
That's right. I wanted the reader to understand about rare books so that they could go on the journey with Peter that he takes in the front story. So there's sort of a middle story in the book where we see Peter not only meeting and falling in love with Amanda, his future wife, but also sort of meeting and falling in love with and developing a passion for rare books. And as he learns about rare books, the reader also learns about rare books.
Would you mind reading a little bit of that passage where he's rebinding the book?
Sure, I'd be happy to. The Kozo, the thin but fibrous Japanese paper that he pasted across the tears to repair the paper, dried an opaque white. An expert could use tiny enough pieces of Kozo, even individual fibers, that a torn illustration could be repaired without the repair being visible. Though some would have found the process of fixing one margin tear after another with a tiny brush, a special paste, and a slender piece of Kozo tedious, Peter achieved almost Zen-like state during these hours of careful, repetitive work.
I have to ask, over the years of finding and living with antiquarian books, have you ever come across something amazing, unusual, tucked in the pages of a book?
Certainly, it happens all the time. I mean, I've found cash, I found flowers pressed from people's weddings, I found postcards and notes, I found two letters written by Winston Churchill tucked into a book by Winston Churchill that the
really?
Person who sold the book to us had no idea were there. One of the more amazing things I found to me is something that is not worth anything monetarily, but my mother died when I was very young, when I was 2 years old, and I was working on a book about trying to sort of rediscover who she was when I had my own 2-year-old child. And I went into my childhood home, which at the time was on the market. It was an empty house, and there was some sort of metal bookshelves down in the basement. And on top of one of these metal bookshelves, I found this old tattered French textbook that she had used when she was a French student at Washington Seminary here in Atlanta. She'd written her name all over the end papers. And most amazingly, she had blotted her lipstick on the end papers. And here, 30 years after her death, was this, you know, perfect imprint of her lips on the papers of this book. So that's just an example of the sort of things that, you know, you might find something that has monetary value, like a letter written by Winston Churchill, but you might as easily find something that has emotional value.